Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
You're listening to Nightmare on Film Street. The current time is 6:66. Traffic is clear ahead from here to the afterlife, but it's hell outside. For the next hour, you're on Nightmare Time. So, let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Hello again, fiends, and welcome to Nightmare on Film Street, the horror movie podcast for the casually obsessed. I'm Kim.
I'm John.
And we are talking about some more aliens.
That's right. We're concluding the second half of our rural alien double feature. My milk cow brings all the grays to the farm. And this week we're talking about No One Will Save You from 2023. Probably still fresh in everybody's memories.
Yeah, we're doing a new one, which is atypical of Nightmare on Film Street.
Well, we're going to spoil the whole goddamn movie, so if you haven't had a chance to see it...
You should probably see it.
You should probably go watch it. We usually pick older movies because everybody's seen them or it's okay to spoil them. We've gotten permission to talk about them, basically, by how long they've been out. This was... No surprise to anybody who listens to the podcast, this was one of my favorite movies from last year. It was in my top 10. It was a movie that almost...
I think it was in mine, too. Jeez, John.
I couldn't remember.
I couldn't remember either.
So I steamrolled over you. It was in Nightmare on Film Street's top 10 horror movies of 2023. This was a huge surprise for me. I think you as well. The world didn't really hear much about this movie, right?
Yeah, it was really not on my radar, and then we just threw it on, and what a pleasant surprise.
Yeah. If you haven't had a chance to see it, here are three good
things.
Well,
firstly, it's on Hulu, so go see it on Hulu.
Yeah, it's on Hulu. It's on Disney Plus if you're in Canada. It played, I think, in two theaters early September of last year and then immediately went to streaming, despite having a $23 million budget.
Wow.
Yeah. So here's the thing. If I owned a drive-in or a movie theater, or just... As a person who likes to go to movie theaters and drive-ins, I'm hoping to one day see a double feature of No One Will Save You and Prey. And surprisingly, both movies are on Hulu or Disney Plus,
and
depending on where
that
you live.
Ended up on streaming that really should have been theatrical.
Should have been theatrical.
That's the theme of the double feature. Is, what the fuck?
Yeah. But anyway, if you have not seen No One Will Save You, here are three really good things about this movie. Number one, probably the first thing you hear about the movie, there's almost no dialogue. And frankly, you don't really miss it. I did not know that when we sat down to watch it. And it was maybe a half an hour before I realized, oh, there's no talking in this movie. It just flows so well.
Yeah, and I think that really sets up for point two, which is that it is... I don't want to say an action movie because it's more of a fight for survival, but yeah. Once it starts, it does not stop. It kicks off, and it kicks off early and quick, and we go the entire film. And you see way more than you are anticipating. Like, coming off of a movie like Signs, This is so alien-centric, so alien-heavy, that I'm sure it's a pleasant surprise for anybody watching it. When we first saw the alien figure, I was like, wow, we are, what, 12 minutes into this? Wow.
They do a really good job of sort of hiding it and teasing it and having it obscured and stuff, but once we see a full gray, we go all gray all the time. My good thing number three has to be also sort of dovetails into yours nicely.
Okay.
I just love the design of them. They're the classic gray aliens. We've got flying saucers with full tractor beams. Like, it's full 1950s sci-fi Alien with a few little modern tweaks for anybody who's seen 100 Alien movies.
Yeah, I think that's what's so wonderful about it. It's got that nostalgic quality. Like, Bryn, the main character, is in this stasis of the perfect dreamy life. And the fact that it's a traditional, you know, like 1950s style UFO is perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Her world is blowing up, but it's in such a nostalgic fashion.
And I guess bonus good thing would be the score. The score in this movie is amazing. It damn well better be. There's no fucking dialogue. The only way you're going to learn how you feel about anything is from some facial expressions and an oboe, you know? It's the orchestra is what's telling you everything.
Yeah, watching this, I hadn't realized how good of a pairing Signs and No One Will Save You were.
Just based on the score alone?
Well, there's several things. I knew, okay, two rural alien movies, that's great. Mm-hmm. They're going to have some, you know, some similar themes like isolation and la 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 la. But this is a very emotional movie. It's got a big, painful core. It deals with loss, which is the same thing that Signs does. Mm. You would think doesn't relate to aliens at all. But both of these films handle loss in a really interesting way. And yeah, the score is insane. The aliens are similar in style. And they're not very nice.
No. Yeah. Okay. So we're going to toss the trailer, which again, we mentioned, there's no dialogue in this movie. So enjoy hearing some snippets of the score and some loud booms. Maybe a couple alien
maybe
sounds.
Maybe we'll just do a taste of the trailer. It feels weird to do a full trailer.
I often edit the trailers down no matter what.
Okay.
No One Will Save You is currently sitting at a 6.3 out of 10 on IMDb and 82% on Rotten Tomatoes with a surprising 56% audience rating.
Whoa!
I can tell you exactly why it's that low. But more importantly, a 3 out of 5 on Letterboxd, which is pretty close to that 5.6.
That's wild.
I know.
Explain.
Okay, sure. I mean, I can give you the general consensus. Here's what Rotten Tomatoes has compiled from what audiences have to say. No One Will Save You makes some interesting and original choices, and Caitlin Dever is great. On the other hand, it's rarely scary, and the end might be a letdown. I think every criticism I've heard about this movie is either people don't jive with it having no dialogue, like it's just something people don't love. I think some people find it very interesting, some people find it tiring. But almost everybody I know isn't nuts about the very end of the movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
I don't think I agree with that, but we'll talk.
Yeah, feels weird to get to it now. We'll work our way there. Bryn, played by Caitlin Dever, great character. You know everything about this girl. She says zero fucking words in the whole movie. She is, like you mentioned, an action star in the movie. She spends most of the time fighting aliens, hand-to-hand fighting these aliens.
She is surprisingly resilient.
Oh, yeah. It's not even just that she's resourceful. She's just refuses to die.
And she's so ill-equipped. Her house is so friendly and inviting and sharp-free.
Sharp. Yeah, that's true. Some of the stuff that gets used as weapons is pretty funny and just convenient. You know everything about her just based on her facial expressions, how she looks at herself in the mirror, how she dresses in terms of like her personality and who she is. But you get a sense really quickly that she's very hard on herself.
Well, and also, too, that she's a pariah, We learn so quickly that the town does not like her.
Yeah, anybody who makes eye contact with her is like, who's this fucking bitch? I hate her guts so much. And she's alone. The opening sequence of the movie is her getting ready and going to her mother's grave. In fact, it seems as though the two of them were the biggest people in their lives, because her mother's tombstone says, loving mother of Bryn. Now, don't get me wrong, this does introduce the character's name to us. We don't know her name until that very moment. But there's no other descriptor on that tombstone. They were living in their own little farmhouse, their own little world, and we find out through the movie it's because the entire town hates Bryn because of this tragic accident when she was 12 and she killed her best friend.
Yeah, it's fucking dark.
Yeah.
We can kind of gauge so much throughout the movie. We're spoon-fed, you know, like Maud is the best friend, like I miss you. We find out Maud died when she was 12. These things are fed through us throughout the movie, so we know something bad happened between the two girls, and that's why the town has turned on her. And Maud also happens to be the daughter of the chief of police.
Yeah.
So makes it very hard when you have a dead alien in your house and you can't go to the police.
Well, yeah, there is a scene where she tries to go to the cops and she basically bumps into Maud's parents. Maud's mom spits on her. She doesn't even have the opportunity to ask for help. She just turns around and leaves. There's nothing she can do. And I'm jumping the gun a lot by saying she's the pariah of the town because she killed a girl. Or she was at least responsible for the death of a girl. That all that information gets doled out so slowly. We just know that people don't like her. There are certain people in the town, especially people at the cemetery, that she's trying to avoid. And that she's writing letters to this friend of hers who's gone. And she feels responsible. And then you slowly find out.
I think you can suss it out, though, very early. Just from the letter where she ends it with, I miss you so much. I'm so sorry for what I did.
Yeah.
And the fact that she's a pariah, you're like, what the fuck went down?
Yeah, but it's maybe halfway through the movie where she's trying to make her way into town. And she's in that cemetery again. And you see Maud's tombstone. And you find out that Maud was 12.
Yeah, 12 was a bit of a jarring surprise. But you have felt out by this point,
yeah,
that this monumental thing happened.
Yeah, she's totally alone. It seems as though she orders as many groceries as she can online or in catalogs. She doesn't really go into town, and when she does, it's like very quick.
I think she's a seamstress for money.
Yeah.
Because she drops off packages of dresses that she's made. But she pulls up right to the mailbox, like barely steps out of the car. She is like a turtle in a shell.
Oh, yeah. And given that she's, I don't know, maybe 20, maybe early 20s at this point. Maybe it's been 10 years.
She's 22. It's been 10 years.
Oh, okay. So yeah. We know that for sure.
Yeah.
She's probably lived in that house with her mother. She's probably homeschooled from 12 to 18 and then maybe did some correspondence work. I don't know if she went away to university or anything, but I don't think she really leaves the property.
No, I don't think so either.
And she seems to have a lot of good memories there. When she's at home, that's like this quiet little oasis. And it gets fucking infiltrated. This is the ultimate. Alien movies in general are the ultimate home invasion movie, right? Because the aliens are breaking into your house, but they're also invading our fucking airspace. They're invading the Earth, our collective home.
I don't know if I get down with the aliens in the house stuff.
What are you talking
about? I just think it's so weird. Like, why is an alien bothering?
Science. Science, it's exploration, it's research.
In this film, they have some pretty intense tractor beams.
Yeah.
They do not need to go into any houses.
Sure they do.
They can obliterate walls, doors, furniture. They can suck people up. They can freeze them. They can move them around. They don't need ground men.
But it's the men on the ground that give us all the info we need. You got to think of it like, okay.
I just think it's a petty maneuver to have an intelligent being that has done intergalactic, interstellar travel and comes in this really advanced ship and then comes down naked, no weapon, breaks into somebody's house and is like looking through their fridge. I think that's petty as fuck.
I think that they are naturally curious and they're trying to learn more about us. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say, I don't think they are bad. I think they have our best interests in mind, and maybe we should be a little more welcoming to our new saviors.
To okay? Our new inhabitants.
Yeah. I don't think they're the villains here at all.
They look friendly. I'll give you that.
They do not look friendly.
They
what are you
do.
Talking about those giant black hollow eyes?
Okay, so their faces are kind faces, though. The feet, traumatizing. They have hands for feet, which I don't agree with. And also their movements, they have a lot of weird contorting muscles that make creaky sounds. I don't trust their body movements. But their faces, like, they look like they can smile.
Okay. Oddly enough, I'm the one who feels threatened by them, but I also think they're here to be friends.
I think they look like friends, but they are not.
Okay, well, this is the kind of dynamic you need in an alien fighting team. I need to have, at least to be able to have a discussion. Maybe they're not so bad after all. He did bite me, but I think...
and oh, yeah. I'm like, I look like I trust them, but I do not trust them.
So, we got to hold this part of the conversation. This really folds nicely into the end of the movie where I want to talk about why people don't like it and what maybe it's all about. Let's just focus on some alien mayhem right now, baby, because these motherfuckers are so creepy. Like that scene in Nope, where we've got the kids that have broken into the farm, and it's like a weird sort of, like, we think that there's an alien in the barn, and it's hunting down Daniel Kaluuya. It's like this crab monster thing. That sequence is terrifying, and that's everything in this movie, you know? And they are aliens. It's not like a, psych, we're actually kids pulling a prank. They're creeping and crawling around the house. They're on their weird little toes that are kind of like hands.
Their hand feet.
Their hand feet, and they're like, like, they've got such great, creepy alien voices.
Yeah, the thing, and this becomes a little frustrating, and this is something that maybe I can kind of agree with the audience rating, that they are definitely pulling punches. They, in a sense, are letting her live because there is a sense of curiosity. Like, when she goes to hide under her miniature of the town, they just obliterate it. They throw it against the wall, but they don't immediately just... They have these abilities. They could definitely just suspend her in midair and kill her right away or inhabit her, whatever they're going to do. We haven't really talked about that aspect of the aliens, but they feel like they're being less lethal than they could be.
Okay. Here we are. We're talking about it all. I don't think they're evil. I don't think they want to hurt us. I don't think they have an incentive to hurt us. They are putting weird, gross insects down our mouths. Big old space octopus things. They seem to control us. There are people all over town who have been infested, taken over by these monsters.
Like, I'm calling them thyroid replacers.
They're kind of thyroid replacers, yeah. They look to be parasites that are turning us into hosts. For the better. Like, ultimately, they're just like, hey, look, you guys, you've had a good run.
Y'all suck.
Yeah. You're killing each other. You're killing the planet. Soon, you're gonna kill us, maybe. Who knows? The point is, y'all need to start working together here. I think they are here to help us. And who knows? Maybe they'll leave at some point. But everybody seems to be, the world seems to be a lot better now that they're here.
Okay, so, and getting into a little bit of spoilers, we do know that they have the ability to replace people. They can replace you.
They could.
They choose not to.
Exactly, right?
They are using you as a husk, though.
That's so...
And they're putting you into the mental matrix. The act of putting the alien octopus thyroid replacer in your body puts you in an internal space. You get lost in a memory, or you're put in like an imaginary happy place.
Yep.
You're locked in a stasis. You're not along for the ride. You're not having any part of your external life.
I think you're not having any part of the parts of your life that make your life hard. You know, like I think
the toiling.
I think for some people, that might be a blessing.
Oh, no. I am of the type that if I had the option to wake up from the Matrix, I would not.
I
would take Matrix,
like, I would like you to erase the memory where I realize that this is the Matrix.
You know what? If I found out I was already in a Matrix, I'd be like, this is what I imagined? This is what I dreamed
well,
of.
That's assuming it's you're in control of that.
This is the life I chose?
God damn. Like, how bad is it out there that this is better? Okay, but, so we learn that because the aliens finally get a hold of Bryn, and they put one of those creepy fucking thyroid replacer monster things.
In a great tractor beam sequence.
Oh, it's so
We
good.
Have not praised the tractor
the
beams
The tractor
enough.
Beam sequences of this movie. Now, here's the best part. The beginning of the movie, Bryn wakes up, she's on her way into town, and we see a giant burnt circle in her lawn. And she's like, what the fuck is this? And so
my life is perfect. What is this burn hole?
She sprays it with water so that way it'll come back to life, and she goes into town. This is also how we learn that the aliens have been everywhere, because we see those tractor beam burns in everybody's
life. We don't know their tractor beam burns for a while.
That is very true.
So we just think like, ooh, it's the signs.
Yeah, like we think they're leaving markers or something. Yeah, but when the tractor beam fails to pick her up and disappears, it leaves a burn hole in the ground, and that's how, man.
So you realize every single burn mark that we've seen has either been an alien being put down or a person being sucked up and thyroid monstered.
Hell yeah. They also use it to sort of trap Bryn, because they don't really suck her up into the ship too much throughout for most of the movie. They use it to just stop her in
her tracks. Yeah, it's a helicopter with magical powers.
Yeah, and while she's stuck in that tractor beam stasis, they put one of those giant fucking gross monsters down her throat. It immediately takes over, and we're in a dream world. Now we're inside Bryn's consciousness. We're seeing what she sees in her head, and she's seeing Maud. And this is done so fucking well because she sees an adult version of Maud, like a 22-year-old version of Maud that doesn't exist. And they're happy. And it's everything that she wants. She just wants everything to be as it is, but Maud's still alive. And like, I didn't make that one dumb mistake. And when we see Maud in the movie, this is the real genius creative touch. She's obscured. Like, we never see exactly what Maud looks like. She's blurry. She's out of focus because she's not real. But Bryn's smart enough to realize that she's not in the real world, and she yanks that gross creature out of her throat. The aliens sort of tractor beam up that gross creature, and they use it to create a doppelganger of Bryn.
This is my question period for you.
Yeah.
What does this mean? What is this doppelganger period?
Okay, yeah, so I
don't know if I vibe with the doppelganger aspect.
I think, like you said, they have the technology to replace us. It needs to get some of our DNA, maybe some of our memories or whatever. They don't want to replace us, but if you put up enough of a fight and you're just going to be a fucking asshole about it, like, yeah, we will stab you with yourself, you know? And it attacks Bryn. It stabs her a couple of times. She gets the upper hand, slices her own throat with an X-Acto blade. And while she's trying to escape, the aliens pick her up. They have a big old conference about what we're going to do with her.
We should talk at this point that she has killed several aliens by this point.
Oh, she's like, an alien killing machine in this movie.
Yeah, she is the Rambo of alien killers.
They've got to be impressed, right? They're like, I mean, we miss Greg, but we miss but
Greg was our MVP.
But she did a great job. I mean, he was tough.
She got three different generations of alien.
Oh my
and
God.
That's something that we haven't talked about.
The fact that she kills a baby.
Just the variety of species.
Yeah.
Is so unique. We don't often see, apart from Alien, that the species can have either different phases or be slightly different. Like dogs, be all kinds of breeds. There's a small alien that has, you know, ape-style arms that's very arm-heavy. Then there's the traditional, like, tall gray. And then we have this fucking praying mantis that is three stories high and has fucking arms that are just...
They almost look like their torsos remain the same size, but their arms and legs continue to grow.
Yeah.
And that's how they communicate. Like, they make weird shapes with their arms and hands.
They throw shapes.
They throw shapes back to the ship. That's how they communicate. They also, like, into the sky a whole bunch. I think those are just different ages.
You think so?
Especially based on how they react.
Okay.
Like the younger one is also way more impulsive. When I say younger one, I mean the smaller one. It might be younger, but it's way more impulsive. It's way more curious as well.
He's definitely the scariest one. He's the one you can't predict movements of.
Yes. She also might, like I am, think that it's a babier one, because this is the one that I don't think she actually kills. She sort of pins it to
impales
a wall.
Impales it?
In the collarbone. And then she hits it in the head to knock it out. Yeah. But I don't know if she kills it.
I don't know if she
stabs the other ones in the head or burns them alive in a fiery wreck.
I was going to say, I don't know if she intends to kill any of them, but she does burn that one alive.
The one she burns alive is the one that she's like, hell yeah, I did it.
That one's fucking nightmare fuel, though. It can four-legged run through forests in seconds.
Oh, it's the LeBron James of Alien Greys.
Ugh. Those guys I definitely think are like the captains of this invasion. There's one in every quadrant, you know what I mean? One per ship, maybe.
Yeah, you send in one of your regular ass grays into the house for investigating. The baby's along because it's just like, you gotta take your little brother if you're gonna take your big brother.
Take your brother with you.
But it's overseeing everything. Yeah, you've got like one gray per person maybe, right?
Because the big one is definitely keeping the ship updated and calling the ship when it needs backup or it needs, I don't know, beam powers.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And after she's killed a couple of these things, including herself, a doppelganger of herself that's been made from, like, the weird alien creature that she yanked out of her throat, they suck her up into the ship, and then they, like, mentally probe her. They see all of her memories and all of her experiences, including when she was 12 and she got into a fight.
I love how they do the vignettes here.
So good.
We see moments, and we walk through them, and there's...
And everybody, it's like everybody's frozen in a tractor beam.
Yeah. But we are definitely visiting memories with her. Like, we're walking through literal memories.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. And, like, they don't explicitly say it, but I think they're fighting over a boy. Because there's one guy that she sort of, like, stops to see in town who gives who gives her, like, a, oh, could you just get out of here look. He's also the one that she's dancing with at the end of the movie.
Oh.
Isn't it? Is it the same guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I think at 12, they fought over a boy.
He's like the neighbor boy because that's the closest house to hers.
Yeah. They're fighting back and forth. Maud pushes Bryn down. Bryn grabs a rock, hits her in the head, and just in a, you know, bad luck, hits her in the exact right way, and it kills her instantly by the looks of it.
The thing that I love about this is how dark it is. I am really happy that the filmmaker chose not to make it an accident.
Yes.
A horrible accident.
Yeah.
This is still a horrible accident. She's a 12-year-old girl.
Yeah.
This is terrible. But there's rage and intent behind it. And so it's almost like the scorn of the public is a little, it's justified.
Yeah, but nobody regrets it more than her. And even in
And she was a girl. It's
they're children.
It's such a complicated incident with such lasting damage and hurt and somebody died. It's nothing but gray.
Okay. That's good. But the really great thing too, because we're seeing those scenes, we're seeing them through Bryn's eyes, like through her experiences, but we know that the grays are watching these exact moments and sort of analyzing each sequence. They're looking at the pain of everybody involved, and they're looking at all the details of what happened, and they see the immediate regret in Bryn's face. It's before Maud has even hit the ground, before her hand has dropped from hitting her in the head with this rock, she immediately was like, oh no, I've done something wrong. She doesn't even know that Maud is mortally wounded. She's just like, I just hit my best friend. There are so many good moments in the movie too where the aliens are walking through her house and just seeing her pictures, and especially her sort of like shrine room to where she's hung all these letters she's written to Maud. She has so much love for this person that she
murdered.
You can say murdered. That she murdered. And one of the best interactions is where she refuses to let go of a picture that the aliens are trying to yank from her. I don't think the alien knows what it is.
No, because I think he pulled scissors from her, which was a weapon, and then pulls the picture frame and is like, this wouldn't have hurt me.
Yeah, but it looks at it for a half a second like, what's the importance of this? And I think it can tell that it's a photo of a younger version of herself. Mm-hmm. And while they're probing her, there's a big old discussion. There's huge discourse about what they're going to do with her. They talk amongst each other.
And the ship makes a consensus.
The ship makes a consensus. They put her back down on Earth and they leave her alone. And the rest of the movie is her sort of just like picking up where she left off, cleaning up the house, getting ready. Like, we zoom forward a little bit. And as she's going through town, everybody's working collectively on building a garden. They're all happy to see her. They all wave. She brings a decoration that she made for them to hang up. It's a real community again. And I think it's because the aliens are here to make people better versions of themselves. And despite her faults and everything, they see that through her trauma and through her memories and through all of her regret and everything, that she has become the best version of herself. I think that's why they ultimately let her go down. Like, it's like
she's also living in a delusional world where everything is perfect and beautiful and nice. And
oh, you think, like, maybe she just got that thing put back in her and they just did a better job?
No, I just think she's already a homogenized version of herself.
Oh, okay.
If you want to look at it in a nihilistic way, she's already living in Pleasantville. She would continue to live in Pleasantville whether they implanted her or not.
Yeah.
I understand that they are seeing her trauma and all of this stuff, but upon looking through her house, I know she's really great at killing aliens, but she does live a violence-free life.
Yeah, outside of that.
Yeah. I love just the visual and the thematics of her being a human among aliens and just like living in this world where everyone's got a thyroid alien in them and they're not real people. And she's just like, you know, this is better than what I had before.
It's also not too different from what she had before. She is a lone wolf in the community and she still kind of is, but in a happier way.
My only complaint is that it is a bit main character syndrome-y.
Sure.
That the aliens are like, after she killed so many of them, they look at her memories and they're like, oh, but she experienced pain and she hasn't lived any kind of life, so we should keep her as herself.
Oh, you think that's what it is?
No, but I mean, that can be an interpretation.
Sure.
Because the parents of Maude definitely got replaced. Babies definitely got replaced. How do you decide who and who not to replace? I'm assuming from the way this ends, she's the only one that's a human.
It's what it seems like, yeah. And at the very least, within this town.
It is very main character-y.
Absolutely.
Like, why you?
I don't personally think that the very end of the movie is a 10 out of 10. I think it's good.
No, I love it. Thematically, the best possible ending.
Yeah.
Seeing her wave and then the aliens wave back. Love it. Fantastic.
They're all having a nice little dance, like a little party on the garden.
And who wouldn't want to live in a world? I was like, she's homogenized. I would fucking live. I want to live in Pleasantville. Okay. I want a milkman to deliver me my oat milk in jars.
I want flying saucers in the sky everywhere I look.
I do. And I want every restaurant to be a diner. That's just what I want. That's what I dream. Every woman with an apron. I mean, gender roles, I would like them to be a little non-traditional. Modern day, but the visuals I accept.
You like 50s sci-fi stuff.
Yeah, you can have a house robot, it just has to have an apron on.
Isn't it funny how aliens are always better in small towns or in the Wild West than they are in, like, Metropolis?
No, yeah, we want Jetsons. That's what we want.
Yes, that's basically it. Yeah, I'd say I'm not absolutely in love with the end of the movie, kind of for the same reason you are. And there's really only one scene in this movie that could have used a little more dialogue, or at least could have just been cut a little faster.
Is it when she gets on the bus?
Oh, no. I think that sequence is great.
It's weird that she's just like, I'm going to leave town. She loves her house so much. I know she's missing a front door, but she can fix it.
There's fucking aliens in her backyard.
Yeah.
I think she's just planning on getting out of Dodge for a little while, maybe coming back once the heat's cooled off.
Once the aliens stop invading.
Well, I mean, think about everything you know about aliens. Usually when you hear a story,
once they come, they leave.
They don't seem to stick around. If we're just going, not going off movies, just going off stories you hear on podcasts. Usually they show up.
They probe your butt. They impregnate you. Yeah. They put a chip in the back of your neck.
And
they're off.
If we could skip three of those four things, that'd be great. So I think that's all she's trying to do. She's just trying to get out of town, maybe come back a little later. But yeah,
it's also
the Purulator man's on the bus.
It's also a surprise that the town doesn't seem to be infiltrated by aliens yet. Maybe it's because the people that have been infiltrated have become aliens and are not saying that they're aliens.
It's a 50-50 mix at this point.
Yeah, but the people that don't know, don't know.
Yeah, this is when she gets into town and she tries to go to the police and she runs into Maud's parents. That's the scene that I think could have either gone a little faster or used a little dialogue. Mm. It's the one time where it feels like it's a weakness of the movie to have no dialogue. Because throughout the rest of it, it's not as though these characters never speak. She sighs, she groans, she grunts. There's some dialogue in the background, like when the Pure Later guy shows up and he's trying to like, ooh, 5 points, trying to throw her package over at the mailbox. People talk in these movies, but all of our info is either relayed from emotion or letter writing.
Or a tombstone.
Or a tombstone. I think it's such a great movie that relays everything without having people speak directly to you. That's the one time where I do wish they had have at least had some sort of exchange, very brief, or just gone a little faster, because there's just too much that's, oh, the pregnant pauses of these characters staring at
each
other.
And Dad stops to say something, maybe almost apologize, and then he's like, ugh.
Yeah, fuck you. Man. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I don't know you an apology. That's the one time where I feel
there
like
are moments where it feels natural that there isn't talking in this film, but there are moments where you can feel that it's intentionally we have decided to not have dialogue in this movie.
Exactly.
Or for the Maud scene to be the only scene that has words.
Yeah, and you think the bus is another one of those, eh? That's interesting.
There should be at least more screaming, even if it's not audible words.
You could have said help, is what you're saying, maybe?
Yeah, the bus driver could have been like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Because he looks in the rear view and sees...
He gives a what the fuck look.
Yeah. But that is a what the fuck happenstance. There is a guy crawling on all fours across the banquettes of seating.
Yeah.
That is a swearable moment.
Oh, man. I'm nuts about silent film. I love silent movies. I think it's just a completely different way of storytelling, whether or not you have cards that come up that show you what people are saying.
And also, what's more annoying than a character who's alone talking to themselves?
Yeah.
There's nothing natural about that.
I don't think people really do it.
I mean, there's a lot of awkward singing.
So that's
for
the thing.
Some of us?
You do hear her sing in the. She sings. Like there's this. Like, she's trying to learn how to dance, and she sings along to a song. Nothing about this says these characters can't talk, and we're gonna have zero dialogue, like John Woo's Silent Night. That was maybe, unfortunately, not a great example of this type.
Well,
of movie
I wanted
making.
That movie to work.
I wanted that movie to work so fucking bad. But we'll always have No One Will Save You. This is a great example of what you can do with minimal dialogue. Azriel, another movie that's kind of on the festival circuit right now that you'll probably see soon, is another great example of getting away with pretty much no dialogue. And Godzilla versus Kong, man. Like, that movie, like, half of that movie is a silent film.
Is it?
Any,
yeah, I guess. Yeah,
yeah. There's lots of stuff with Kong and the rest of the, you know, the rest of the ape society, and that there's no dialogue there, but you know everything that's being said between them. And yeah, I think we have too much dialogue in modern movies. Especially having no dialogue really allows scenes to play out.
Yeah, and a lot of the symptoms of that is maybe the biggest point of contention in Hollywood today. It's that executives think we're stupid.
Yeah.
And are telling us too much with too dumb of dialogue.
Yeah.
That's the most frustrating point. And that's definitely something that audiences are starting to push back on. Like, mm-hmm. Stop doing this.
Yeah.
We can guess what you're insinuating.
That had to be their fear, but not putting... I don't know if they ever even had a plan to put this in a movie theater. It could have always been a Hulu release. But I bet that would have been a concern putting it in the theater, that people aren't going to see it. And unfortunately, based on the audience rating at 56%, we know that, at least based on the Rotten Tomatoes consensus, people didn't love the ending. Some of that also had to be that there's no dialogue.
You know, the fact that this movie was even made, it's a female-led quasi-action movie. I wouldn't even consider it an action movie. It's more of a soft horror film.
Yeah.
Maybe a thriller, mostly drama.
The word is sci-fi. You're,
Yes. Science fiction. But it's not as violent as it could or should be.
Yeah, yeah.
It's got rounded corners in all aspects. Like, the violence is rounded. The invasion is rounded. By choice, because this is a Pleasantville-type invasion.
I love it. Yeah. Yeah. This is a banger. I really like this movie. I like this more than Brian Duffield's first movie, Spontaneous, which I know a lot of people were nuts about. Also kind of like a Pleasantville-ish kind of movie that has some like dastardly evil shit happening. Teenagers just start exploding one day. You should check it out if you haven't seen it. It's a good movie. But I think he's taken like 100 steps forward with this movie.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. And I love that a writer is getting the opportunity to get movies like these made.
Yeah. This was a spec script too. This isn't based on a fucking novel or something.
Yeah. This is unique and original and a new interpretation of a classic monster, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
And those tall guys are fucking nightmare fuel.
Yeah.
I don't care who's like, this movie's not scary. The arms on that thing? That was enough for me.
Super spooky. Yeah.
10 out of 10 on the scare score.
Yeah, no, it's got a great score. The cinematography is incredible. It's hard to talk about in a podcast, but this movie looks fucking great. The way that the camera moves, the way that
she's got
it,
a
pond
focus
to
with
show
a
stuff.
Fucking deck. I am so envious.
Yeah, and despite the fact that I'm not head over heels about the very end of the movie, like a lot of you are, I'm giving it a 4 out of 4.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 4 out of 4 too.
Right? Such a good movie.
Honestly, yeah, the main character thing about the ending is kind of my only qualm, but I do think it is the best possible ending.
Yeah, we build
visually, thematically. I just love her waving at aliens and just living her pleasant life, especially after killing so many of them.
Well, that's what we thought of No One Will Save You and how we're closing out our Milk Cow Brings All the Grays to the Farm double feature. It's so good. I had to say,
I don't think there's a single cow in either of these.
No, there
movies.
Isn't. But it's just too good of a title to pass up. There are absolutely milk cows in both of these communities.
Oh, yes. Both of these universes, cow-filled.
Yeah. Their absence is
noted.
Felt. Yeah. Anyway, that's going to do it for us this week. Let us know what you thought of No One Will Save You in the Nightmare on Film Street Discord at nofspodcast.com/discord or any social media channel that you're already following us. You can find us pretty much anywhere at nofspodcast or Nightmare on Film Street.
Yeah, follow us on TikTok and YouTube. We're trying to do video content and we haven't done it for years, so we're not great. And we also don't have many followers over there.
She's really selling it. Yeah.
You know, it's great over there. It's so cool. We have such good videos and content for you.
And if you could, please give us a 5-star rating wherever you're listening to this podcast. It really does help. It puts us in front of more fiends like yourselves. It's the easiest, quickest way to recommend the show to people and to push us up in the charts. If you want more Nightmare on Film Street, there are hours of bonus episodes waiting for you in the Fiend Club at nofspodcast.com/fiendclub.
That's it from us this week. Until next time, I'm Kim.
I'm John.
Stay creepy.
It appears you made it out alive, but we'll get you next time. Help us to grow the horde. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe. More terror can be found lurking on our website, nofspodcast.com. Until next time, stay creepy, fiends.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.